It's 10 o'clock. You're listening to KBOO Portland. That was The Politics of Living. And next, we're going to hear Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. And then at 10:15, Sojourner Truth looks at the Oscar-nominated documentary If a Tree Falls about the modern radical environmental movement. At 11 o'clock, stay tuned for The Bike Show, bringing you news and views of cycling from Portland and beyond. And once again, we thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're just a listener but you'd like to become a member, you can become one very easily when you go to kboo.fm and click on Donate. Stay tuned. Air Cascadia is up next.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Engineering Committee will meet on the first Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, July 5th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, and your whistleblower radio at 90.7 FM on the air, KBOO.FM everywhere. Well, as we say and we remind ourselves time and time again, the best lack all conviction, while the worst are filled with a passionate intensity. And you can figure out which side of that line I stand on. The weather for today, which you'll never miss till it's gone, it's going fast. Today, sunny skies with highs around 90 and flat wind. Tonight, mostly clear, lows around 63, and for tomorrow, sunny skies, and look at that, cooling off a notch, temperatures around 89, and for tomorrow, Thursday night, partly cloudy, lows around 60. And our guest for today, Nick Cady with Cascadia Wildland, once again joins us with the latest on the Elliott State Forest. It's a lot more than a forest, people, at this point. Having lost over 90% of Oregon's forests, we just let it go. And the numbers will tell you, as far as contributing to the education of Oregon's children, it hasn't made much of a dent, has it? Cutting down the trees, educating children, there's... If you see a rational connection there, do please let me know. So this is a huge issue. Oregon's environment is a huge issue. Much of the rest of the nation looks to Oregon for source, if not guidance, at least a degree of encouragement. Although we are falling rapidly behind other states in our much vaunted environmental stewardship, the idea of managing a forest in the first place disgusts me. It's an absurd notion. Forests manage themselves quite well, thanks, for over a million years. We've had pretty good forests, and forests seem to get by quite well without our management. In fact, they get by far better without our management. The best thing that we could do right now for forests here in Oregon and across the nation is to leave. Get out. Don't camp there. Don't go there. Just leave them alone. Don't decide how many trees to cut and where to cut them and how to cut them and all of that stuff. Don't do it. It's going to be turned into lumber. By this time, we should have figured out better ways to build shelters for ourselves. Anything is better than using the forests that we have left. Life literally depends on it. And the case in point, of course, the Elliott State Forest, it's been a long, hard fight. And we do have, it always seems that there's good news and bad news. All of this, just briefly, before we talk to Nick. Nick, you're with us, I guess. Stand by for just a moment, because we want to mention that we've got the crazy versus the crazy lining up. Donald Trump thinks that he's going to defy or challenge Kim Jong-un and put North Korea in its place. The place that the North Korea wants to be is as far from the United States as possible, both philosophically and politically and territorially. The North Koreans want to be left alone, basically. Leave them alone. Problem goes away. Okay, fixed. Next problem. Donald Trump is talking to Vladimir Putin. That is watching a chess master playing checkers with a young and very distracted child. Donald Trump just does not have it. He does not have the intellectual ability to negotiate or even hold a conversation with Vladimir Putin. They're not on the same plane at all. Though Vladimir Putin does like to adopt a sort of proletarian tone when he speaks to certain audiences, and then just as Donald Trump does. Unfortunately, for the U.S., Vladimir Putin is a put-on, whereas Donald Trump is pretty much right there on the bullseye. In Honduras on Friday, June 3rd, Bertha Zuniga and a friend were on their way back to home after visiting in the community of Canciere, and this is in Honduras, and yet another attack on environmentalists in Honduras, which is already a pretty violent country. It may not have been an attack because they were environmentalists. It may have been an attack just because they happened to be there at the right time. Nonetheless, it certainly does look like an attack on environmentalists in Honduras. So I love this stuff. Yeah, the New York Times says Donald Trump is playing for high stakes when he meets Russian President Vladimir Putin. Cannot get away from it. It's just such a sweet spot watching the two of these guys attempting to negotiate with one another. And we have other environmental stories from across the nation, and a major blow to proponents of clean coal technology. Southern Co, the parent company of Mississippi Power, announced that is filing today, is throwing in the towel in efforts to generate electricity from coal, instead use only natural gas. There you go, for its flagship. That's pretty cool, though it is suspicious on the face of it. Departing from national environmental news and the high stakes game that we're playing there, high stakes between Putin and Trump, I think the high stakes really are right here at home, the environment, and certainly starting with Elliott State Forest, which it's on us. Good morning, Nick. Thank you so much for being with us again today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're really glad to have you back, because this is it is not just a huge import for Oregon, saving the last of our forests, but it is a case and in point for the rest of the nation to take a look at and see why this is so important. I drove recently around Oregon to what were forested areas, and I believe they called it a beauty barrier or something, which was a thin band of trees, so that if you're driving along at any speed over 50, You can't see the clear cut behind it. It's horrifying. So can you talk a bit about the $100 million in state bonding revenue that is projected to keep the Elliott State Forest public? How's that going to work?
Yeah, just to give folks a little bit of background, you know, the Elliott State Forest is a large contiguous chunk of old-growth rainforest in the Coast Range near Coos Bay. And the state initially was planning on, you know, historically has logged this forest or attempted to log it to fund education. And so they clear-cutting old-growth and using that money to pay for schools. And forever we have, Cascadia Wildlands has had the position that this was a bad arrangement, that we shouldn't be clear-cutting old growth, kind of legacy for our kids in order to kind of a short-term funding mechanism for education. And so on July 3rd, lawmakers, you know, the Oregon State Legislature recently voted to approve $100 million in state bonding revenue that's going to pay for education. You know, this is, you know, very similar to how education is funded in every other state with taxpayer dollars. But here it's just $100 million is going to set aside some of these parts of the Elliott State Forest for permanent protection. And so we're really excited about that. It happened on July 3rd.
What about parts of the Elliott State Forest? One thing that I never hear mentioned in any of these discussions is the fact that trees, you know, if they leave one tree standing, they've logged off everything else, or a small grove or something. The type of fir, mainly Douglas fir, need one another. One a tree. It's hard to explain this. A group of trees. A Douglas fir is a means a group of trees. There are interconnections that are absolutely necessary for the trees to live, and this idea of thinning or selective logging, whatever, you need very large swaths of these trees and the habitat that they create for so many other species. We is so much more complex than any environmental scientists have been thus far able to put together. What about the notion that we need large tracts of land left to itself to do what it does, which is keep the planet safe for human life? I don't understand why we are able to log anything at all of what's left. Why is that? How? What's the rationale?
Yeah, this is what makes the Elliott State Forest so unique and has made it kind of one of the priorities that we focused on organizationally for a long time. Oregon's Coast Range has been just hammered by industrial clear-cutting, aerial pesticide spraying, trapping of bears and beavers, and any wildlife critter that could harm the new plantings that the timber companies will put in. And so this the Elliott was this unique area that's this contiguous 100,000 acres, this big block of older trees. And as such, you have some of the most important salmon runs in the state. You have a stronghold for marbled mulets and northern spotted owls in this forest. And so it's really important. That's why we've been opposing for 2 years now this plan for the state to dispose off and sell the Elliott State Forest to private timber companies. Because this was kind of one of these last remaining strongholds for older forests and for older forest species. This is incredible habitat. And that's why this has been a priority. That's why we were really encouraged to defeat that sale process and now finally secure funding to make the future of the forest without logging.
Final thoughts on that before we have to go out. This is good news. Is this in itself a sustainable plan?
Yes, yes. I think the $100 million is kind of an initial step for the future of this forest. I think the governor's office is still looking at securing a habitat conservation plan to allow some logging to go forward on the forest, and that's something that we're going to track closely. And they'll have to go through the whole federal process, so there'll be public comment period and opportunities for us to weigh in if we think it's kind of an irresponsible amount of logging that they're proposing. So there's a long path forward here to go, but this $100 million is a really encouraging first step that sets the tone for conservation and protection, because that was overwhelmingly what Oregonians weighed in on this process in favor of.
Thank you so much, Dan. It was so great to have you back on the program today. This is good news for the Elliott. And if it's good news for the Elliott, think of all of the downstream effects.